You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, making the world a better place, one show at a time. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, making this world a better place one show at a time. At least we're trying.
The hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you very much, and welcome once again to the George Wilder Jr. Show, Block Talk Radio, WTTTY out of Chicago. It's so beautiful here, folks. It is really in the state of Chicago. I'm hoping in the state of Illinois. It is really gorgeous. It's one summer day. I mean, I almost feel guilty about not being out there, but I had to do the show. We had to be. I don't mean that in a sad way, but a positive way. But, you know, but it's totally beautiful, folks. It is great. If you're in Chicago, I hope you enjoy the weather. Get out, do something, go somewhere, meet someone. Just enjoy the weather. If you don't have anyone, get out and enjoy the weather any way that you can. But do not stay in the house. This weather is just too gorgeous for this. For being sedentary. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. If you can't tune in, you can always podcast the show for later. You can always listen to this show or any of my shows that are podcasted, that are downloaded. They're all over the place. So, you know, you can always listen to any of those shows. They're all great. They're all wonderful. And I'm not saying that because I'm the host, but they are nice. They are nice. And I totally enjoy getting the accolades from folks who have been on the show, tell me being positive about their visit to the show and being on the show. And I always enjoy that. That inspires me to go on and do more and things like that. But I'm in my studio. I can hardly speak, folks. I'm in my studio and I have this great big old window in front of me. And I'm looking down on the Broadway, out on the avenue, and it is gorgeous. The sun is shining. Everything is just coming together. And for the last few days, it's been in the 90s. And it's not even actually, at least by the calendar, it's not officially summer yet. But we are having summer-like days, and I'm not complaining. I love it. I truly love it. And for the rest of the week, pertaining to the weather reports, it's going to be a beautiful time weather-wise. So if you're in Chicago, and no matter where you are, if you're having great weather, get out there and enjoy it. Even if you're taking a 15, 20-minute, 30-minute walk, enjoy the weather. It's gorgeous. It's not to be wasted. Put it that way. With all the tornadoes and storms and heavy rainfalls, whenever there's time to enjoy good weather, great weather, take advantage of it, folks. I know I am. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me right here on Block Talk Radio. And I'm on LinkedIn. LinkedIn, from my understanding, Book is buying LinkedIn. I've said this several times before. I think if you're on the internet, you, Facebook and Microsoft is going to own us all. I mean, because they're buying up all everything. They're buying up every stock there is on the internet. I mean, these guys are you know, got money up their asses. What can I say? All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show as the fourth, fifth time, making the world a better place. And that's what we're going to try and do. There is something on my screen here that I want to mention. It may be out of sometimes things pop up from out of nowhere and you have to say something about it and you have to mention it. Whole food. I know a lot of us are familiar with Whole Foods. That's a grocery store chain. And a lot of us are familiar with that Whole Foods claims that they are the store for healthy people, people who want to be healthy. The foods there are healthy. But I know one thing about, we have a Whole Foods over here where I am. Just right around the corner here, folks. We have a Whole Foods. And we have several other stores in the area. But however, we do have a Whole Foods and on there, and a lot of us say it's a healthy store. I've been there several times. It's totally a different environment from my standpoint than any other store because it claims to be a health store, sort of, you know, a health store. And I'm getting information right now that Whole Foods nailed for unsanitary conditions at the food prep plant. And now that's totally contrary to what Whole Foods advertise themselves to be, you know. And another thing about Whole Foods, if you ever shopped at Whole Foods, you know that this department store, this grocery store, this supermarket, the prices are just astronomical. That's why in this area, a lot of people do not patronize or go shopping at the Whole Foods store because of the prices. I mean, I've been there, folks, and the prices will knock you out, especially if you're on a limited budget. And most people are, you know, some people are anyway. And I'm just getting this in. It says Whole Foods has been nailed for unsanitary conditions. That's unclean. Now, if that's unclean, then they're lying about being a health store because being unsanitary is dirty. It means filth. It could be mice. It could be anything. You know, it's anything but healthy. You know, but I'm pretty sure the spokesman for Whole Foods are going to come out and say, well, we regard every customer. We try to keep the food, you know, blah, 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 blah. You know, but this is crazy. Now, you got me not wanting to go and shop at Whole Foods, you know. I mean, there's one right around here, right around the corner. So every now and then I go to Whole Foods and get something. But now I'm wondering if I go to Whole Foods and shop, which I very seldom do. But if I go to Whole Foods to pick up anything, I'm wondering, was this made at an unsanitary food? So I don't think that I'll be going to Whole Foods pretty anytime soon. And that for two reasons, because I'm just reading this and their prices are off the hook. And you're probably paying for something that's unsanitary and you're paying a high price for it in the long run, you know, when you go shopping there. So no more Whole Foods for me. I'm done. All right. And there's another story. Led Zeppelin, Stairway to Heaven, plagiarism lawsuit heads to trial. I mean, Led Zeppelin, the rock group from the late 60s and 70s and 80s, Robert Plant, along with the boys, are being taken to court. I've heard the similarity from the other song, and I mashed them together with the Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven, and it actually sounds just alike. So I'm thinking the reason why they're taking Led Zeppelin to court is because of the similarities. There's something there. There's a case there that could probably say Robert Plant and the rest of the guys, members of Led Zeppelin, probably did plagiarize, steal steals this other group's song. But one of the guys, I can't think of his name, one of the guys said that all they had to do was actually give them credit, and this wouldn't happen. But, you know, Stairway to Heaven, the song, was made in 1961, not 1961, but 1971. This song was recorded over 40 years ago, maybe 44, 45 years ago, by this group Led Zeppelin, and they're finally going to court for plagiarizing someone else's, allegedly, someone else's song. That's going to be interesting to see Robert Plant up there on the witness stand defending his song, the song that he claimed he written. I mean, back in the day, I love Led Zeppelin. I mean, I love them. I don't think much of them today because their music sounds outdated from what we have going on today, in my opinion. But back in the day, I mean, I just loved Led Zeppelin. I mean, The Levee Breaks. I thought that was a great song, you know. Black Dog, Stairway to Heaven, of course, and a whole host of their other songs. And I'm kind of hoping that Robert Plant and Jimmy Page are found not guilty, because that would be a tragedy for them to be found guilty of stealing someone else's song without giving that person credit for the song that they've used. And Stairway to Heaven, from my understanding, is a classic song by the group. It is played today in every venue. You know, so it's a great song. And I've always thought that Robert Plant was a great singer. I mean, I remember him with the Honey Drippers. He had a voice. I mean, he could really wail now, but he's older, a lot older. I'm thinking he's in his 70s. But anyway, back to the song. The song is a great song. It's a wonderful song. I don't have it here on the show right now. Maybe at some later time I'll have the song Stairway to Heaven on the show. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. We just got through talking about Whole Foods, which I will not patronize anymore, and Led Zeppelin, Stairway to Heaven. A great song, beautiful song. If you haven't heard it, check it out. I think you can probably listen to it on YouTube. All right, you've been listening to George Wilder Jr. Show. We're going to take a musical break right now, folks. I will be right back. Alrighty, as I was saying yesterday on the show that we were going to talk about principals and teachers leaving Chicago public schools. I've talked about this before in some past shows. I mean, download those shows, podcast those shows, because it's pretty good. But I'm going to say this again. Teachers and principals are leaving the Chicago public school system every day. They're leaving. You know, so this is really bad for Chicago Public Schools, and this is really bad for the children, the students, and some of their favorite teachers are leaving, their favorite principals are going away, and they're doing it because of the budget. We have no budget in the state of Illinois. I mean, this is the it's going on 2 years, if not 2 years. If by the end of the month here, June, if we don't have a budget by the end of the month, it will be two budgets that we are have to look to be having. I mean, he's got to sign too. This guy don't he won't sign anything. Even the other governors and the other politicians, Republican politicians, are telling him, "Hey, wow, you got to do something. You can't just let the state go down the tubes." But somehow these people are. They don't care. They don't care. And people are not only leaving Chicago Public Schools, but they are leaving the state in general because of all of this. High taxes, no budget, no funding for Chicago Public Schools. It's a mess, folks. And the thing about this is that politicians are the blame. Not you, me, grassroots people, the middle class, the work. It's the rotten politicians who are to blame for taking the state under. They don't like each other. They don't want to work together to get things done. They're blaming each other. That, I mean, Governor Rauner, that's he's blamer in chief. Okay, this guy is the number one blamer. He always blaming someone, and in some cases he cannot blame anyone. He's the one that's not signing the budget. He's the one that's not signing a spending bill to take care of these schools, to take care of the vendors who are looking for their money, to take care of the federal government, the FBI, who I'm hearing is going to take the state to collections. Man, this is awful. And these people, Bruce Rauner and the legislature, I think everybody should take some of the blame for this or all the blame, but you have to put the brunt of the blame, and people are putting the brunt of the blame on Bruce Rauner because he is the governor. He is the one who is supposed to bring people together. And I'm hearing now that he's not I think the legislature is on some sort of break, maybe spring break. Maybe they're out for vacation or something, but they're not there in the legislature to vote on anything. And Bruce Rauner was at a press conference the other day saying that there was no sense in bringing them back because nothing will get done. And that's sort of dismaying. Nothing will get done. That means that Illinois will continue to be without a budget because of these asshole politicians, including Bruce Rauner, will not do anything to get the state up out of this mess. Excuse me. But Bruce Rauner is running all over the state saying that he's got what it takes. He's got a stopgap budget at least to get us through December, right? We don't need no budget like that. We need a year-round budget. We don't need something that's going to be up in a – we don't need a six-month budget. What we need is a full budget. We don't need a part-time budget. We need a full-time budget. And this is what he's talking about. Because if we get a six-month budget, and that doesn't seem like it's going to happen either, you know, we'll be right back in this mess after Christmas. And they'll be blaming each other, pointing fingers here and there, you know, and they're all to blame. I blame the legislature, Mike Maddox and John Cullerton, because they can't seem to muster up enough votes to override Bruce Rauner to get Illinois a spending bill. I blame them in that sense, okay, because they can't seem to muster up enough votes. And by not mustering up enough votes, they're probably representatives, Democrats and Republicans, who are not doing the right thing. So, therefore, we've got principals and teachers leaving the Chicago public schools. Kids are going to – the schools may not open after summer. After the summer break, the kids' schools may not open, you know. But regardless whether they're open or not, we have principals and teachers leaving. Now, this should make them think and to make them want to act. The state is going under. You know, however, this is what Bruce Rauner wanted. I mean, he's trying to nibble his way out of this, but this is what he wanted. But now people have been getting in his ass left and right. He's he's softening his stance, but he still will not sign a budget. He still will veto spending bills to help the schools out of their mess, to help fund some of the social programs that he interrupted. Folks, people are dying in Illinois because they can't get the services that they once gotten before this guy became. People are literally dying. People are literally losing their jobs. People are being evicted from their homes. People are being thrown out of their homes because of this. We've got high taxes in Chicago. Chicago is an expensive place to stay and live. It's pricing some people out into the streets. And these politicians, they're oblivious to this. Some of them don't even listen to the people. Your voice is not heard, you know, and they intentionally not want to hear you because it's their way or their highway. But I will say Bruce Rauner he's relenting a little bit. However, Mike Madigan and the state of Illinois, they're saying no, 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 no. So you have to blame them both. You don't really want a six-month budget. I don't really want one. I'll say, hell no, Bruce, sign a full budget. Why are you going to do something half-assed when we're going to wind up back in this in a few months? It doesn't make sense, but it makes sense to him. And he'll come up with all kinds of spin to tell you why it makes sense. Bruce Rauner's never been a governor of anything. He never had a public office. Only thing Bruce Rauner have is his money. And he's buying off a lot of politicians. He's buying a lot of support for his policy, his turnaround agenda, whatever he wants to call it. And basically his turnaround agenda is busting unions, folks. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. And for the last two shows, we've been talking about the terror in Orlando. And, you know, I'm still shaking at the thought that it took the authorities of the police, the SWAT, all these people that were on the scene, it took them 2 or 3 hours before they went into this nightclub, the Pulse Night in Orlando, Florida, where this killer massacred 49 people actually, and injured 54 so far. That's what I know so far. And I've said this yesterday on the show, if the authorities had a storm that place the minute they got on the scene, we would probably see more people surviving. I mean, you had people on television yesterday saying that the authorities should have came in sooner because people were lying on the floor bleeding. They should have busted in. One of the victims who lived gave an interview. She was African-American. And she said she was passionately, and she said so solemnly that she was waiting for the police to storm the place because there were so many bodies, people on the floor, bodies on the floor, and people were bleeding to death. And no one came through. And now the authorities, SWAT, they're trying to defend themselves, saying that they would have busted in there and probably got killed if they'd have gone. That's bull crap. The SWAT teams, police officers, they're all geared up with bulletproof vests, helmets. They have steel shields. They could have gone in there and blasted this guy to hell and rescued a lot more people, saved a lot more lives if they would have just gone in and just took this guy down and just retrieved those people on the floor who were bleeding to death and saved their lives. A lot of people died because of the slow decision and deciding to go inside and just get this guy. So that's what got me on the edge right now. And I know you guys heard about the alligator at Disney, where the young 2-year-old was dragged in the water by the alligator. I guess the 2-year-old approached the shore, the lagoon, or if it's a river in Disney, and the little boy, we thought the boy was actually had been eaten by the alligator, you know, because they didn't locate the young boy for a long time, 2-year-old toddler. And we thought that, because we were sitting around discussing it and saying that he's probably was eaten by the alligator. We didn't know, but the alligators, but somehow they, about 30 or 40 minutes ago, I learned that they found the kid. They found him, but he was dead. He died. He was dead, you know. And Disney World, Disney Park, they're taking a lot of flack for it. And I understand it. I understand the flack that they're taking for it, because around this lagoon or this little lake where the alligators were, there was no signs nowhere saying beware of alligators. There was no signs. There were a few signs saying no swimming, but if you're going to have deadly, monstrous animals in your park, in your theme park, it's best to put signs there, posting saying no alligators, saying that this part of the park is, I'm trying to think, folks, this part of the park is filled with deadly animals. You have to post signs. Of course, the two-year-old, he couldn't read the signs, I mean, at that age, but however, his parents could read and would have probably, you know, not paid a little bit more attention to their son and not let him go there. I don't know what happened, but I do know that Disney blew this, and they're saying now that they're going to look at their policy and make some changes. That should have been changed a long time ago. Anytime you got deadly animals in a river, in a lagoon, in a park, a theme park, you put signs up saying, keep out, keep away, alligators. You put signs all over the place, you know, letting people know that do not go here, do not enter, alligators. But there was no signs. Like I said before, there was just, from my understanding, there was just a few signs, a couple signs saying no swimming, no swimming. But there was no sign saying no alligators, you know, but because there were alligators. And another person I blame once again is the parents. The parent can't seem to hold on to their parent, to their, excuse me, the parent can't seem to hold on to their child. There was no way a 2-year-old was supposed to be scampering over by a lagoon and there's a sign saying no swimming. Once again, a parent is to blame. And then again, a lot of the parents are calling and saying it's not their fault. It wasn't the parents' fault. It was the parents' fault. It was. Just like when this 4-year-old fell into this gorilla embankment, it was the parents' fault, because they should have held on to their child. Because 2-year-olds and 4-year-olds will scamper away from you in a minute if you're not looking, if you're not holding their hands, they will scamper away. But these two parents on these two individual incidents swearing up and down that it was not their fault. And I think it was. 347-857-1762 on the George Wilder Jr. Show. So we got plenty to talk about today. It's 6:29 straight up on the George Wilder Jr. Show. We will take a break, folks, from WWTTTTY. If I said that correctly, I really, it's just something, folks. It's just the world has gone mad, and my show is here to try to make the world a better place. Every time I say I'm going to make the world, help to make the world a better place, something happens, folks. And we have to try to do this thing together. to try to help make the world a better place, because it seems like it's just going straight to hell. It does, folks, straight to hell.
The hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. Okay, I just love that. I just love that laugh. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. Like I said, in Chicago, the weather is just so beautiful. It's so nice. It's so summery. So wherever you are in the world, if you're having great weather, wherever you are, get out there and enjoy it. It may not come again for a few days or a few weeks, but get out there and enjoy it. It is beautiful. It's so summery-like. I almost feel guilty because I'm not happy. I have a show to do. And that's why I'm not out there. But hey, who knows, once the show is over, bingo. All right, let's go to the phones here. All right, you're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Go right ahead.
All right, how are you tonight?
Dr. Kelly Baez, is that what it is? Baez?
It's Baez, like Joan Baez.
Oh, yeah, like Joan Baez. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
You know, sometimes that names are getting me. Baez, Joan Baez. I remember Joan Baez. She's a folk singer, isn't she?
Yes. Yes, she is.
Yeah, her and Bob Dylan were doing some things back in the 60s.
Making some good music, that's for sure.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. All right, tell the audience, give them a little bit of your bio and stuff like that.
Okay. Well, I'm a licensed professional counselor. I have a PhD in psychology, but my passion has led me to focus on being a health and wellness coach. I help people make healthy lifestyle changes so that they can feel better emotionally and physically, because I think there's a strong connection between the two. So that's what I'm passionate about, and that's what I love to talk about and give people the information that they need.
Okay, some of the things that you talk about, your health and wellness coach, from your own experiences, do you give people this kind of information from your own experience? Have you experienced any of the things you're trying to help people with? Have you experienced any of the things? Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I definitely have. I have a metabolic condition called polycystic ovary syndrome. And at one point in my life, actually two different, very different parts of my life, once in my 20s and again in my 30s, I reached around 200 pounds. And with that came some significant health issues too. I had some problems breathing and getting around, and I started to have a lot of pain in my joints and that sort of thing. And I knew that if I didn't make healthy changes, that I was going to have some consequences, and I wasn't prepared to deal with that. I wasn't going to accept that. And so I've definitely walked the talk, so to speak. And so I bring together my personal experience, but also my professional experience. So I feel like I'm coming from a place of understanding.
Oh, okay. Are you also an author?
I have two books that are, one is completed and the other is in the works. And so I do some writing with blog posts and guest blogs. And then I also have the two books that are just about to be released.
Okay. Your first book, I'm pretty sure it's about what you're talking about now.
Right. It's it's Fit Shrink. My that's kind of my nickname is Fit Shrink, and so the book that my first book is really just an overview of that that mindset piece, because I believe that mindset is the missing piece to the weight loss puzzle. Mm-hmm. So my first book is just a general overview, and then the subsequent books that I have are a little bit more specific to specific groups and health conditions. But this one, yes, I cover everything from how to think about diet and exercise to I've got a piece I'd be happy to share about developing body appreciation, which I think is a really important part of it when you're talking about getting healthy again. So that's what this mm-hmm. book is about, just a general overview. Mm-hmm.
Talk about some of your clients. How happy are they with your services?
Well, I think that they're very happy with it, to be honest with you. I haven't had any complaints mm-hmm. so far. And
okay.
I think that the reason is because it's a totally different approach. I'm not telling you what to eat and how to eat, and I'm not telling you exactly what exercises
yeah.
you need to do, because it really is a very personal, almost a private decision that you have to make. And everybody's
mm-hmm.
life is different. Everybody's got their own struggles and their
yeah.
own values. And that impacts, you know, eating is a very personal decision, and it really is based in your culture and where you live and what your family life is like and all that. You have to take all of that into consideration. And so
yeah.
the reason that my clients get the value out of working with me is because I help them think through what's best for them. I don't just give you the answer. I walk
mm-hmm.
with you to develop your own answer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the effective piece. Sorry.
Okay. I was going to say overweight comes with, you know, diseases. How important is exercise to combating weight?
You know, it's vitally important. And
mm-hmm.
I think this is a part that a lot of people misunderstand. When we're talking about exercise, that doesn't mean that you have to get out and sweat it out and run a marathon every day or
yeah.
do CrossFit until you can't move, you know, your muscles are sore, you can't move. That's not it at all. Any sort of modest exercise, walking around the block a few times, that's great.
Yeah.
The important thing is
yeah.
to start where you are, not where you think
mm-hmm.
you should be, or not where a magazine tells you you should be. You
mm-hmm.
don't want to should on yourself, you know, and I think that that's important. Just be honest and develop that trust with yourself and start where you are, and that's
yeah.
how you get mm. the long-term commitment to exercise, because really in
mm-hmm.
the end, consistency beats intensity.
Yeah,
I
tell people all the time, you don't have to get yourself a $200 gym go to, you know, $200 a month for a gym membership. You can just, you know, do 15-20 minutes of exercise, walking around your neighborhood, just around the block or something, you know.
Right.
So unless you want, you know, the biceps and the muscles, of course, but other than that, you don't really need to go to a gym unless that person really wants to. But if, you know, 15-20 minutes walk or something
mm-hmm.
like that, you know, especially on nice days like this one. This is a great day in Chicago, weather-wise, anyway.
That's wonderful.
It is.
Yeah, you know, it is. That's exactly what you need. And the nice thing about exercise, in any kind of exercise, is that
mm-hmm.
it's going to help you emotionally, too. You know, you get out there and you're looking around and it's a nice evening and
yeah,
it just helps you
yeah.
feel better emotionally.
It does. It really does. I mean, you don't have to, you know, feel depressed or lonely or anything. I mean, it just takes all of that away. And how important is eating right, eating healthy?
You know, this is not as complicated as a lot of people
mm-hmm.
make it out to be. I think that,
mm-hmm.
you know, certainly if you have a specific issue, for example, diabetes, you have to eat within certain limits. But I think
mm-hmm.
for the vast majority of people, you know, definitely keep up with your exercise and then simply
mm-hmm.
be aware of what you're eating. I advocate
mm-hmm.
for tracking your eating habits using an app. A lot of people have the app on their phone. I use one called MyFitnessPal. And I advocate for that because what it does is helps you be aware of what you're eating. Some people don't even know that they're, you know, that snack they just had was 500 calories, and that's a big chunk of your daily intake.
And once you have that
knowledge, you know, knowledge is power. And
of course,
once you have that knowledge, you can make some changes, and it doesn't have to be as difficult as people make it out to be.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've been to a couple of doctors, and we've talked about nutrition and stuff like that, and maintaining your weight. There are some doctors, you may not agree with it, but I don't know if I agree with it, but there are some doctors, some nutritionists will tell you to eat all the fat you want. It's just the carbs you have to watch out for. It's the sugar. It's the flour. It's not the fat. What do you think?
I disagree 1,000%.
Yeah.
I think that when, and this is coming from my perspective as someone, again, I have insulin resistance, which means I don't handle sugar and carbs as well as the average person. And I still disagree because I think that our bodies are designed to use all sorts of things and all sorts of nutrients. And when you swear off one section of what our bodies are designed to eat, I think you're setting yourself up, number one, for failure. And number two, if you do succeed in maintaining that diet for any length of time, our bodies aren't designed to maintain that in the long term. And so you're really setting yourself up for a disordered way of eating that isn't sustainable. And that's really what we want. You know, we're not training to be Olympic athletes here. We want some sustainable health. We want to get through the day and feel better.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think that's it, by eating a varied diet and respecting your limits, but eating a varied diet is definitely a healthier, happier way to approach it.
I agree with you. I think eating a varied diet is healthy, and I do recommend exercise. I mean because that's the key to it all. I think so. It's just the key to it all. I think myself. Okay, Kelly Baez on the George Wilder Jr. Show. We're talking health. All right, Kelly. Do you have your book with you? Can you read us an excerpt?
Sure, I'd be happy to.
No problem.
I appreciate it. This is the chapter called Developing Body Appreciation, and it starts, "Your body is the window through which you see and interact with the world. If you're like me, you've spent way too much time fighting with your body. The battle ends today. Your body is beautiful, incredible, and more powerful than you ever dreamed possible. Most of us have body image issues and engage in some degree of negative self-talk. It's time to relearn that relationship pattern. Try to catch yourself when you make negative comments about your body. You know that relationships take work. Your relationship with your body is no different. It takes work to overcome these issues and maintain the healthy relationships, especially when we're bombarded with the messages in media and even from those around us who might speak harshly to us. Here's the good news. Right now, you are redefining your relationship with your body, and new relationships are exciting. The goal in redefining your relationship with your body is not that you never have a problem ever again. The goal is to handle these misunderstandings between you and your body in a way that brings you closer and stronger than ever before."
Oh, wow. That sounds great. It sounds wonderful. And where can people... No problem. Where can people go to find your book if they were looking for your book? How would they find it?
They can go to my website. It's at fitshrink.com. And you can also reach out to me on Facebook at facebook.com/fitshrink, FITSHRINK.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking at your Facebook page right now. Instagram, you're all over the place. All right. Thanks for being on the show. Kathy, Kelly, I'm sorry. I looked at it wrong. would you like a link to this show to put on your website?
That would be fantastic, George. I appreciate it.
No problem. No problem. Would you like to come back on the show someday and talk about diabetes? Because I have a lot of friends who have the disease, and we're dying to know more about it. I was wondering if you could, you know, come back in one day and talk about that.
I'd be happy to. Anytime.
All right. Thanks for being on the show. See you next time. I'm going to send you a link to the show in about 3 hours, okay? Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks, George. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, that was Kelly Baez on the George Wilder Jr. Show. We will be right back, folks. Let's see if we can. What we got? Okay, we're still talking about the Orlando's killing. We'll be right back, folks. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, making the world a better place, one show at a time. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, making this world a better place one show at a time. At least we're trying.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
Everybody, Pastor Steven Anderson here from Faithful Word Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona. And I just wanted to record a quick video about the news this morning about the shooting in Orlando. I guess a Muslim terrorist went into a gay bar and shot him up, and there's 50 sodomites, homosexuals, that have been killed, and another 50-some-odd injured, and then the Muslim guy himself was shot by the police, it sounds like. And here's the good news and the bad news about this. You know, the good news is that there's 50 less pedophiles in this world because, you know, these homosexuals are a bunch of disgusting perverts and pedophiles. That's who was a victim here, are a bunch of just disgusting homosexuals at a gay bar, okay? But the bad news is that this is now going to be used, I'm sure, to push for gun control where, you know, law-abiding normal Americans are not going to be allowed to have guns for self-defense. And then I'm sure it's also going to be used to push an agenda against so-called hate speech. So Bible-believing Christian preachers who preach what the Bible actually says about homosexuality, that it's vile, that it's disgusting, that they're reprobates, you know, we're going to be blamed. Like, oh, it's all extremism. It's not just the Muslims, it's the Christians. I'm sure that that's coming. I'm sure that people are going to start attacking, you know, Bible-believing Christians now because of what this guy did. Now, let me just be real clear. I've never advocated for violence. I don't believe in, you know, taking the law into our own hands. I would never go in and you know, shoot up a gay bar, so-called. I don't believe it's right for us to just be a vigilante. We're supposed to obey the law of the land and obey the powers that be. So I would never take things into my own hands or become a vigilante. But I will say this, you know, the Bible says that homosexuals should be put to death in Leviticus 20:13. Obviously, it's not right for somebody to just, you know, shoot up the place, because that's not going through the proper channels. But these people all should have been killed anyway, but they should have been killed through the proper channels, as in they should have been executed by a righteous government that would have, you know, tried them, convicted them, and saw them executed, because in Leviticus 20:13, God's perfect law, he put the death penalty on murder, and he also put the death penalty on homosexuality. That's what the Bible says, plain and simple. And so, the good news is that at least 50 of these pedophiles are not going to be harming children anymore. The bad news is that a lot of the homos in the bar are still alive, so they're going to continue to molest children and recruit people into their filthy homosexual lifestyle. And then the other bad news is that this is going to now be used as propaganda, not only against Muslims, but also against Christians. And of course, Islam is a wicked religion. Of course, it's a disgusting religion. Of course, the Quran is false. But the media makes a big deal out of stuff like this. And it's perfect. I mean, the devil loves this incident, because it's perfect for him. Because now he can push his agenda of, oh, we need to love homos and stop being hateful, because look at these acts of violence that are provoked. Even though I've never heard any Bible-believing Christian preacher say that we should take things into our own hands and execute the wicked. You know, all I preach, and all that any other, you know, Bible preacher have ever said about it, is that it should be against the law to be a homosexual, which it was against the law until 2003 in the U.S., and that, you know, Leviticus 20:13 is still God's word. So, anyway, those are my thoughts on this attack. I'm not sad about it. I'm not going to cry about it. Because these people were going to die, these 50 people in the gay bar that got shut up, they were going to die of AIDS and syphilis and whatever else. They were all going to die early anyway, because homosexuals have a 20-year shorter lifespan than normal people anyway. And, you know, at least these dangerous predators, these dangerous, filthy pedophiles at this gay bar, at least they're off the streets, you know. So I'm just trying to look on the bright side, you know. But again, you know, I don't condone vigilanteism. So anyway, I just wanted to give you my thoughts, and God bless you. Have a great day.
All right, that's the sentiment of some of these church pastors, some of these bishops, some of these ministers around the country. They just hate homosexuals. That's a hate tape. There's plenty more from different congregations, from different churches. Around the U.S., around the world. They just can't stand homosexuals, and they have no, they don't hold back their hate, their anger. You know, they're using the Bible to hate, and I think that's wrong. You don't use the Bible to hate. However, there are plenty of pastors, good bishops, ministers who are embracing this, and they want to help any way they can with trying to wish the family condolences. But you have a few pastors, a few rogue-ass pastors, a few rogue church that hate. They just, this is just pure hate coming from the pulpit. The last place you would think hate would be coming from is your church, your pastor, your minister. But, you know, it's everywhere. It's everywhere, and this does the homosexuals, the LGBT community, no good at all to have hate spewing from the pulpit of your church, calling them pedophiles, calling them homos. If you have listened to the clip here, that's a damn shame. That's a shame. I mean, you're hating on a group of people. I'm not gay, and I've said this several times. I'm not gay, and I do not condone the gay lifestyle. I really don't. But I don't think they should be hated. I don't think they should be gunned down like dirty dogs. I don't think they should be called homos and faggots and all of this type of thing. This is nothing but hate. America has to wake up. We got to stop hating each other. I mean, we are Americans. Homosexuals, they are a group of people within their own. Of course, this was proven by the gathering at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando, Florida. I don't condone their lifestyle. I don't condone people being gay. I don't even condone gay marriage. But there's nothing I can do about it. It's here. I can't change anything. It's here. But I would not take a gun, a rifle, an AK-47 type of a weapon and go into a gay bar, a gay nightclub and gun anybody down. No, I wouldn't do that. Because, well, for one thing, some of my best friends and some of the people that I work with, great people that have been gay. Have been gay. Of course, I've been hit on by gay people, but a few gay people, but not all. And I just, I look at it and I say, hey, well, I'm not gay, and they go away. They apologize and some of and go away. But that doesn't mean we will not still be friends. And it's going to be coming out in the next week or next month, more hate from the pulpit. Wow, that's a good book or a good story to write, right? Hate from the pulpit. Hey, that is something to write, but, it's just awful. Awful. I'm not saying that every pastor, every minister hate gays or sprouting hate for everyone to hate gays because it's in the Bible. Allegedly in the Bible. I'm not sure. I haven't looked it up. I'm not a Bible thumper, even though I have written a book called Jesus Christ Returns. It's a pretty authentic story. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me right here on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me on Amazon. I'm on Amazon.com. You can go there. You click a button. Follow me. You get everything. You'll hear about everything that I'm writing or everything that I have written. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing if you go to Amazon.com. All righty. And what we got next? We got more on the Orlando. We've covered that. Let's see what we got. All righty. Okay, I know how bad these cuts. When I talk about cuts, I'm talking about social programs in Chicago. I know how bad the cuts. You know what? I've had people to want to be on the show to talk about Illinois and its devastating cuts and how the cuts will or are affecting those who are in need. And I've said this many times. I don't need anyone on my show to talk about Illinois cuts are, how bad it is without the budget, how bad it is that we have a rogue governor, a rogue mayor who doesn't seem to care, and a rogue legislature. All of these people can be lumped into one column and be blamed for all of this, be blamed for all of it. So I don't need anybody on the show to talk about it because I know already. I know about these things. I don't, well, we're going to be heard. I know that. What we have to do is we have to hold these politicians, hold their feet to the fire because they are not feeling any of the blunts of the wrath that they are causing Illinois. They are not feeling any of this. These politicians are dumping this depression. They're dumping this devastation on the people of Illinois, on the middle class, on the poor, on the struggling poor, on the part-timers, on the seniors, on the disabled, on the mentally ill, on the charities. They're dumping this on the colleges, universities, public schools. They're dumping their garbage all on top of us. They're taking money out of our pockets. People aren't even getting paid because of this budget standoff. They're not getting their checks, and more people will not be getting paid. And yet these people constantly blame each other while the rest of us are starving. And it's because of these people, the politicians in Springfield and the state of Illinois, blaming each other while the state burns. Rauner, Bruce Rauner, is going around the state. He's campaigning. He's trying to get, like I said before, he's trying to get Illinois so riled up and against the legislature and Mike Madigan and John Cullerton so he can vote his people in the legislature, get them out so he, Bruce Rauner, can take control. That is never going to happen because most people, the students, the kids, all of these folks who are affected by these cuts, they blame Bruce Rauner, not Michael Madigan. Michael Madigan has the unions on his side. Rauner does not have the unions. That's why he wants to break them up. See, I don't need anybody on the show to talk about those things unless they are fully knowledgeable about how to resolve this. If you're going to come on my show and talk about this, you better have a way to resolve this, to put this to an end. Don't just come on my show and just talk about it and then it's over with. This show is all about making the world a better place. This show is all about finding solutions to problems, not just talk about the problems. Let's find a solution to the problem so we can try to alleviate the problem. That's my feeling for the George Wilder Jr. show. And if you're about that, then hey, wow, you're welcome to be on the show. Give me a call, drop something in my email box or my inbox, email or inbox, you know, let me know. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. I want to thank my guest, author Dr. Kelly Baez. She says she will return to the show to talk about diabetes because so many people are having it, or they have it. And there are so many people, I said this many times on my shows, there are so many people walking around with diabetes. Diabetes is no more a middle age thing. It's no more, there's still type 1 and type 2 diabetes. However, diabetes is also happening in young children, teenagers. So diabetes is not just exclusively for people over 40, over 50, over 60. Diabetes happened. Jay Cutler, the quarterback for the Chicago Bears, he has diabetes. And I think he's about 32, 33 years old. And then there's children, kids, a lot younger. They also have diabetes. So I want her on the show to talk about that. I've been trying to get people on the show to talk about diabetes for the longest, and hopefully she will do that, and we can get a little bit more insight into it because it is one disease that's killing people. And there are so many people who do not equate diabetes with having cancer. You know, I mean, there are people who say diabetes is not as deadly as cancer. And, you know, I totally disagree with that. I totally disagree. If you don't control your sugar, and that's another thing, exercise controls your blood sugar. It's one of the elements that controls your blood sugar. So if you have diabetes, pre-diabetes, or you know someone, tell them to one way to stop pricking your fingers or dropping pills. Exercise. Exercise controls your blood sugar. Okay, so exercise is good in so many ways. So many ways. My thing is, if you want to get rid of diabetes, you can do it. There, you can reverse diabetes. There's no doubt about it. If you do the right thing, you can reverse it. But however, if you go back to doing the same things you were doing before, diabetes will come back, and it will come back with a vengeance. You know, so You can reverse it, but if you go back to doing the same old things, it will reemerge. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. I want to play another clip on this Orlando killing, and I do feel for the people. My condolence goes out to all the families involved in this and all the victims, you know, whether alive or dead. You know, we got to give them our prayers and understand that this is not over. This is not the hate for homosexuals, the hate for the gay people will continue because people are just, some people, not all, are just, you know, hateful. They're hate just to hate, you know, because they are haters. And that shouldn't be. That should not be. All right, here we go.
It has just been 24 hours since the deadliest mass shooting in American history, and this morning, we know a lot more about the gunman, but little about his motive. 50 people dead, another 53 wounded after the authorities say 29-year-old Omar Mateen opened fire inside the Pulse nightclub in Orlando. FBI agents have descended on Mateen's home about 120 miles away in Fort Pierce, Florida, looking for anything that may explain why he carried out this attack. Sources tell NBC News' Pete Williams that before opening fire, Mateen called 911, pledged allegiance to ISIS leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, and mentioned the 2013 Boston Marathon bombing. According to authorities, gunfire erupted inside the club just after 2 in the morning. A hostage situation unfolded, and by 5 a.m., police decide to go in, driving an armored vehicle through a wall. A gunfight then broke out between police and Mateen. Some of the audio of that exchange you can hear in this clip. During the gunfire, one bullet hit an officer, his Kevlar helmet likely saving his life. Mateen was killed in the exchange, and police say 30 people were rescued from the club. According to the ATF, Mateen bought the two guns used in the shooting just within the past week or so, a handgun and an AR-15-style rifle like you see here. Investigators say both firearms were purchased legally. Mateen's father posted a video to Facebook last night saying he is shocked and saddened by what his son has done. And here's what he tells NBC News this morning.
Was your son radicalized in any way that you know of?
No. No. He was taking care of his family, going to work. He doesn't have even a beard. He didn't miss his work. He was always on time. So I didn't see anything different that the way that he was behaving himself before, and until yesterday he was the same.
So where did he get these crazy ideas?
That's what I said. I wish he was alive. I could ask him that question. One question.
Bad
why did you do
that's
it?
That's why he got it from.
Obviously, Mika, that's what people across America are asking. Here's some of the headlines today. The Boston Globe talking about the massacre in Orlando. The Washington Post leads with a headline, 50 killed at a gay nightclub. The Wall Street Journal talks of a night of terror in Orlando. And the New York Times talks about a gunman praising ISIS. And you have, right next to me, let's move over here, you have the USA Today massacre. And then the Daily News talking about NRA, and obviously, Willie, a lot of issues, of course, came spewing out immediately after this from all sides ideologically. It's just as sick as usual. Give it a day. Let's mourn the victims and try to figure out what's going on. But a lot of fingers pointing, but of course, what everybody wants to know most of all is why did this happen and how do we stop it from happening again?
Yeah, I was on the air yesterday all day, and it was almost immediate. When people running to their battle stations, as you point out, you know, it became immediately, before anyone knew any facts, it was about this or it was about that, and here's why he did it. We don't know why he did it yet, except now that we've heard some of his claims. We know what he said about ISIS in that 911 phone call. Graham, you can speak to this better than I can. we're in an age now where you don't have to have any direct tie with ISIS. You can be inspired by ISIS. You can have a laptop or an iPhone and read something and feel some connection to ISIS, and then ISIS can retroactively claim that he was an ISIS fighter. So that's his claim, is that he did it in the name of ISIS and of radical Islam.
Yeah, I would even go a bit further. ISIS, in many ways, doesn't even want him to have a connection before the fact. They've said, at this point, you should just attack in place, where you are, when you can. And if you seek our approval in advance, then you're just exposing yourself to being foiled, your plot never coming to fruition. So they've told their supporters, just do it. Do it now. Don't bother coming here anymore. Mm.
All right, let's bring in NBC's Chris Jansing. She's in Orlando, Florida, with more on the investigation into the gunman. Chris, what more do we know about him?
You know, it's remarkable how quickly this profile of Omar Mateen emerged, that he was someone who was filled with hate, who was violent. Mateen's father told NBC News his son became enraged recently after he saw a same-sex couple kissing in Miami in front of his family. The FBI says it first became aware of the 29-year-old back in 2013. Now, he made threats to coworkers, including what an agency spokesman called, and I'm quoting here, possible ties to terrorist activities. And then the FBI looked at him again the following year because he contacted Abu Salah, an American who traveled to Syria to become a suicide bomber for al-Nusra. Abu Salah, who also lived in Fort Pierce, was the first American to carry out a suicide attack in Syria. U.S. officials say he tried to recruit some of his friends to fight in Syria, and then when he got back to his hometown back in 2013. One of them actually did alert the FBI, but by then Abu Salah had already left the U.S. Now, at the time, the FBI decided that Mateen's contact with Abu Salah was minimal. They didn't feel it posed any kind of a real threat. Law enforcement officials have told NBC News there's no indication Mateen was in touch with terrorists overseas or that the attack was directed by someone else, to the point of what you guys were talking about. So meanwhile, we're also hearing from Mateen's ex-wife. She talked to the press yesterday, and she described her former husband as unsound, claiming he was physically abusive and had in the past taken steroids, and that she actually left all of her belongings behind to escape their life together.
Instability, emotional instability, sickness, mentally, he was mentally unstable and mentally ill. That's the only explanation that I could give, and he was obviously disturbed. When he would get in his tempers, he would express hate towards things, toward everything. So in that respect, you know, yeah. But it was at the moment when you would see his emotional instability and turning totally different.
And meantime, we have these portraits of the victims emerging from 20 to 50 years old. And I think one of the most heartrending stories of the text messages that went back and forth between a son who was trapped in a bathroom and his mother. And then he went radio silent. And sadly, we learned this morning that that son, Eddie Justice, was among the victims. Willie?
Oh, that was one of the earliest stories we saw and one of the earliest sound bites we have that will be seared in my memory forever. Eddie's mother screaming, looking for her son. Chris Jansing in Orlando. We'll be checking back with you throughout the morning. Thanks.
Hey there, I'm Chris Hayes from MSNBC. Thanks for watching MSNBC on YouTube. If you want to keep up to date with the videos we're putting out, you can click subscribe just below me or click over on this list to see lots of other great videos.
All righty. Yeah, that was a video, but I turned it into a clip for radio, a radio clip. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. I hope you enjoyed that clip. We're going to be, not only me, but I think the media in general is going to be talking about this Orlando shooting, because it's one of the worst crimes in American history. And I totally agree that they've said that. And it is a horrific crime. And some people trying to compare it with 9/11. I don't think there's any comparison. This was a shooting. 9/11 was just, you know, I mean, planes running into the damn the building, the Twin Towers. So I don't think there's no comparison, but terrorism is terrorism. And the United States, in my opinion, the United States, they have to find a way to protect the American people. I mean, it has to be done. They got to find a way, because they're not doing it so far. And we've had several terrorist attacks in the last 10, 15 years, and they still do not seem to know how to prevent these things. Preventing this stuff is not going to be stopped or ended by banning Muslims, because the killers, the thugs, the people who want to hurt America, they're already here. They're already in America. And believe me, somebody is plotting something as I sit here in my studio trying to make the world a better place. We're going to have more. I don't want to wish any harm to anyone, but reality is reality. You know, I don't think the federal government, Homeland Security, I don't believe they still have, I don't think they still have a clue on how to protect Americans from terrorism. If they did, this wouldn't have happened. And I still blame the authorities out here at Orlando for taking too damn long to storm this nightclub in the possibility of saving more lives. I'm not the only one thinking that. There's people around the globe that's thinking that. However, they're the people, the culprits involved, are trying to defend their actions, defend why they didn't go in there, which is undefensible, in my opinion. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. We've been having some fun here. And I'm still trying to come to grips with the slogan I have for the show, making the world a better place. And we're going to try to do that, folks. Make this world a better place, because somebody has to do it. So why not the George Wilder Jr. Show? Why not the George Wilder Jr. Show in trying to make the world a better place? That's all there is to it. All right. All right, welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting on Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio, and it's beautiful, folks, in the Chicago, and I just hope it's great and wonderful where you are, because it's totally beautiful here. People are, I mean, it feels like a summer day. Lately, it's been feeling like a summer day. I know some of you folks have been with me when I've been railing at the weather, when it was so bad, dull, rainy, and dreary, and just awful, but now it's taken a turn for the better. It really has, and it's gorgeous. And I would say to anybody, I mean, if you're having great weather, get out there and enjoy the weather. It is fantastic. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, and a thank to my guest, Kelly Baez. She said she will return to talk about a needed subject, and that's diabetes. Make sure you hear for that. But first of all, we have to get her booked. And I will let you know when that's coming. It should come pretty soon. All right. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Let's do a doorbell. All right, here we go. Hillary jabs Trump. Now he's worried about guns. Everybody's worried about guns. Even the Republicans are starting to say, hey, wow, we got to have some sort of gun control. And if Trump is worried about guns, then the head of the NRA is going to dump Trump because they're all about guns. In their minds, it's not guns that kill people. It's people with guns who kill people. And, you know, I do think there should be some sort of background checks on guns. And this is where the FBI blew it again. They had this guy, from my understanding, on the FBI watch list. They had him in custody or talked to him twice. And then they let him go. And all of a sudden, he was able to go to a gun store and purchase guns and kill lots of people. And Hillary has said, how in the hell does that happen? I'm saying that. How does the hell that happen? How does the FBI take someone off the FBI watch list and this guy's on the – first, he was on the watch list. That's the problem. How did he buy guns being on the FBI watch list? Once again, the authorities screwed up. They screwed up. The FBI director, he's all over the place trying to defend their actions. And Obama, I believe, he is agreeing with what the FBI director said to why they, you know, took him off the list and they didn't see anything. There was no probable cause. They missed it, folks. They blew this, folks. Stop letting the FBI tell you that they did not blow this. They blew it in terms of 49 people dead. They blew it. They and the authorities on the ground blew it when it took them so damn long to bust into the place and rescue people. People were laying on the floor bleeding. There's witnesses to that fact. There's witnesses to that fact. And the witnesses are saying the same thing. Why didn't the authorities ram the place sooner as when they got on the scene? So the media is not really focusing on those two issues. They're mentioning those two issues only sparingly during their broadcast. But you will hear it in its entirety the way it's supposed to be when you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Those are two things. This could have been prevented, folks. This could have been prevented. That is no other way of saying it. This did not have to happen if the authorities were on their A game. It would have not happened. We would have those people alive today, and a lot of these, some of these pastors, not all of them, the hateful ones. I don't see how people can really go back to these type of churches after their pastors and ministers have just said that these people who were killed in that Orlando nightclub deserved it. I couldn't attend a church like that anymore, you know, but I'm, you know, brainwashed people. They're going to probably attend and go anyway. So it's awful, folks. It is awful. And you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
Father,
Folks, we just about have 3 minutes left into the show. It's been great, folks. It's been a wonderful show. I enjoyed it. Once again, I want to thank my guest, Dr. Kelly Baez, and she's going to be back. She's going to be back on the show, so you guys stay tuned for that. As for tomorrow's guest, she called and canceled, and we did get a chance to reschedule her. So her name is Shenandoah. I love that name. I love Shenandoah. Shenandoah will not be on the show tomorrow, so therefore we will not have a guest. It'll be just you and me. I may not even be taking phone calls, folks. So, but still stay tuned for that. It'll still be a good show. It'll be a great show. My shows are always good shows and great shows, and my show is out there to the world. And I get calls and I get positive responses from all over the world, and that's a great thing. That's what keeps me going. That's what keeps me going. Someone just whispered in my ear, 90 seconds, George. You got 90 seconds. Say what you got to say. There's about 1 minute and 10 seconds left into the show, folks. And like I said before, I want to get this implanted in your brain that this show is trying to make the world a better place, one show at a time. That's all it's about. Helping someone else in need of help. All right, we're going to go off the air now, and I hope you guys join me tomorrow. It should be a great show. It's always a great show. I'm always enthusiastic about doing the show. So, and thank you for listening, and thank you for recommending this show to other people, and thanks to all of those who are saying I should be on TV or something or other like that. All right, I hope you guys join me tomorrow. Thanks for joining me today, and have a great evening.